1 Peter chapter 5. And I would like to read verses 8 and 9. Many of you are familiar with these verses, but the Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would help me right now to explain your truth, to preach it here. Would you help us understand? Lord, we need your Holy Spirit to teach us now from your word, and apart from you, I can't do anything, Lord. And I pray that you would just give me clarity of thinking right now and your power and your love. And I pray that you would teach us now. Lord, we trust you to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. There's many different aspects to prayer in the Bible. Prayer is obviously a very important thing, and tonight we are going to spend a period of time in prayer. And I would like to look tonight at a particular aspect of prayer. This is mentioned in 1 Peter chapter 5. It's mentioned other places. James chapter 4 verse 7 says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." And when it comes to what God wants to do on the mission field, there is somebody who opposes what God wants to do there, and that's the devil. And the Bible says that our relationship to Satan is one of authority, because Jesus is an authority over Satan. And no matter how depressed we may feel, no matter how discouraged we may feel tonight, Jesus Christ is Satan's creator. He really is. He has all authority over Satan. There's nothing that Satan does that Jesus Christ does not have authority over. And it's Jesus' will to build his church. It's Jesus' will that the church would bring God glory through every age. And there's nothing that Satan can do to stop that from happening. But Satan wants to stop that from happening. And these verses give us just a really basic principle that if we resist him steadfast in the faith, he will flee from us. And if we resist him on behalf of people on the mission field, on behalf of maybe people that aren't saved yet, maybe people that are growing spiritually, Satan can flee from them also as we resist him. And I would like to turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and spend the rest of the time in this passage tonight. Ephesians chapter 6 was written by the Apostle Paul to the Ephesian Christians for the purpose of teaching them how to pray. And the passage ends in verse 20. In verses 19 and 20, Paul talks about how he needs prayer that he would have the freedom of speech to declare the gospel, that he would have just an easy opportunity to be able to speak to people the gospel and that they would receive it. That's what Paul wanted them to pray for. And he begins that passage in verse 10 saying, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And the spiritual armor here in this passage, you can apply it to a lot of things in your life. But I would like to apply it to prayer here. I think that's the primary application that Paul makes. And if we are to see Satan flee from people, if we are to see people's lives just be freed from the wrong thinking that's in their heads, to be freed from the bondage of temptation, Satan needs to be resisted, and we need to see God answer our prayers in that respect. And Paul gives just a really basic outline of how we do that in prayer. And our passage in 1 Peter 5 mentioned faith. You know, faith is probably the most important part of praying. You cannot pray effectively if you don't believe God is going to answer what you're asking him to do. You can't you can't pray for people to be delivered from Satan's bondage if you don't believe that it's going to happen when you pray. And there's a very important word in Ephesians chapter 6, and it's the word stand. And, you know, many times we think of spiritual warfare as being us going against the enemy and us charging the gates of hell and these things, and some of those illustrations are in the Bible. But in this passage, it uses the word stand. And what God wants us to do in prayer is he wants us to stand on the place that God has given us, and he wants us to claim that for him. You know, if there's a person in your life that you're ministering to, Satan doesn't have a right to keep them from coming to church. Satan doesn't have a right to discourage them. Satan doesn't have a right to make them doubt the Bible. And God can use you to stand in that person's life and see Satan flee from that person. That person belongs to Jesus Christ. The lost people in this community, this town, does not belong to Satan. And I know sometimes we say things like, well, that's Satan's territory over there. And you know, that's okay to say. But in reality, it's really not Satan's territory. It's Jesus' territory. He created it all. And every single person, whether they're saved or lost, belongs to God. And God wants us to stand on his promises. He wants us to stand and see Satan flee from these people that we're ministering to. And Paul gives us this armor, how we do that. And first of all, let's look at verse 14. It says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." And you know, you've got to believe the truth if you're ever going to have victory in prayer. If you doubt that parts of the Bible are true, if the Bible is not real to you, you're never going to be able to pray. If there are things in your life, areas where you are maybe twisting the truth, or maybe you're not believing the truth, you're never going to be able to resist Satan. You're never going to be able to stand and help somebody be delivered from that. The Bible says also that we are to love people and rejoice in truth and not in iniquity. That's a really important principle. You know, we should love the truth. We should love to hear the truth. You know, we should love it when we hear something true that's good about somebody. The Bible says that when we hear something bad about somebody, we shouldn't rejoice in that. We should love the truth. And what is it in your life tonight? Is there somebody that's struggling, and maybe you think a lot of things about the situation. Maybe you play it through in your head and you say, well, you know, I bet right now this person is thinking this in their head. And I bet right now this person is going to think those thoughts about me. You know, that's not the truth. A lot of those things never will happen. Maybe there's somebody that you've had a disagreement with in the past. And you think these things through in your mind and you say, well, if I try to apologize to this person, they're going to say this to me. And you play all these scenarios in your head. You know, that's not the truth. And you've got to get rid of that in your life. You've got to believe the Bible. The truth is important if you're going to resist Satan. The second thing we see here, verse 14, is having on the breastplate of righteousness. And, you know, Satan knows exactly what areas of our life we have weaknesses in. He knows exactly what temptations you fall into every day. And if you're going to start praying seriously, if you're going to start praying for Satan to flee from people, you know, he's going to attack you. He knows exactly what temptation in your life you are weak in. If there's a sin in your life that you are not having consistent victory over, as soon as you start praying seriously for somebody, for Satan to deliver, for them to be delivered from Satan, Satan is going to take that area, that sin, maybe you call it a besetting sin, whatever it is, in your life, and he will take advantage of that, and he will make you fall into that if you're not having consistent victory over that. You know, righteousness, the Bible says, is our breastplate. If you're going to pray serious prayers for people, you've got to live in victory over sin. It's important. You've got to depend on the Holy Spirit to give you victory, whatever it is in your life. Is it anger, irritation? Is it bitterness? Is it depression? Is it worry, anxiety? Whatever issue it is in your life, you've got to live in victory over that if God is going to use you in prayer. It's absolutely essential. The next verse here, it says above, let's see, verse 15, says, "Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." There's a lot of different interpretations of this verse. But the gospel is important to our lives. What does the gospel mean to you? Do you believe the gospel? Did the gospel change your life? Is it changing other people's lives? If you don't have the right relationship with the gospel, you're not going to be able to stand against Satan. Are you seeing God save souls through your life? Are you confident in your own salvation? You've got to have assurance of salvation before you can help anybody else. So the gospel is also very important. Verse 16, it says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." Faith, the shield of faith, is the most important part of the armor. And, you know, if there is an area in your life in which you doubt God, you will never be able to pray effective prayers for people to be delivered from Satan's strongholds in their life. It's not going to happen. If there is an area in your life where you are working in human effort and not depending on God, you are never going to be able to pray effective prayers for people. One of the ways that this manifests itself, at least in my life, is you have a burden for somebody. Maybe you become aware of a situation in somebody's life, and maybe they're your friend, maybe it's a person in your family, maybe it's somebody in the church here. And you take that burden, and you take it in your heart, and you think about it all the time. And you think about how terrible this situation is, and you think about how impossible it is for anything to change. And then maybe you take steps to try to change that situation. Maybe you go to that person and you try to do everything you can to get their thinking to change from this to this so that they can be delivered from it. And you take that burden on yourself instead of trusting God to carry that burden and to use you to meet that need. And there's a great difference between that in our hearts. You know, many times we become frustrated inside with somebody. We become frustrated with a situation. Maybe there's somebody that we've prayed for years to get saved. And we get frustrated. We share the gospel with them and they don't listen. Maybe it's a child in our family. And we tell them, you know, you shouldn't live your life this way. Look at where you're going. Look at where you're going to end up. And we become frustrated inside. And even though we're trying to do something really good, we're trying to minister to somebody, frustration is not faith. It's not dependence on God. And if you ever have that feeling of frustration inside when you're praying for somebody or when you're trying to work with somebody, that's an indication that you are taking that shield of faith and you're beginning to let that down. And when you do that, you will become affected by the very problem that you're trying to fix in that person's life. You will be affected by the very temptation that you're trying to pray for that person to be delivered from. And I've experienced that in my own life. I'm sure many of you have. But the shield of faith is important. Whatever burden it is, trust God. Don't have anxiety inside. Don't have frustration inside. God is more than able to change people. He's more than able to save people. He's more than able to take care of your children and change the way that they think. Believe God. That is the most important part of our armor. And quickly here, verse 17, it says, "Take the helmet of salvation." The word salvation in the Bible is used a lot of different ways. It's used of our justification, how we become right with God. It's used of deliverance, physical deliverance, spiritual deliverance. In 1 Thessalonians, the Bible calls it the helmet of the hope of salvation. Do you expect God to deliver you when you pray? Do you? You know, Jesus, when he came into the world, the Bible says that his name is Jesus, and they called him that because he will save his people from their sins. The word Jesus means Savior. It means Jehovah is salvation. And Jesus is the deliverer. He will save. Whatever situation it is, maybe somebody needs to be saved from their sin. Maybe they need to be saved from hell. Maybe there's a Christian that needs to be saved from their temptation or their sin or their habit in their life that's bad. Maybe you need deliverance in some other area of your life, financial or physical, whatever it is. Do you have hope in God? Do you expect him to deliver you? You know, the Bible says that is our helmet in the armor. You cannot resist Satan if you don't expect God to deliver you, if you don't have that confidence in God to deliver you. He will. He wants to. And the last part of the armor, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know, our most effective weapon against Satan is the Word of God. Do you memorize Scripture? Do you meditate on Scripture? You know, many times, you can have a burden for somebody, you pray for them all the time, and at the same time that you're trying to pray for this other person over here, Satan is telling you lies, and you're believing that, and it's affecting your relationship with your wife, it's affecting your testimony, it's affecting how you feel inside. You know, you cannot pray for God to deliver somebody else if you aren't meditating on the Bible, if you're not refuting Satan's lies in your mind. And you know, once you make a decision to say, okay, I'm going to pray for a missionary. I'm going to pray for somebody like Gideon Ola. I'm going to pray for him every day. I'm going to pray for these people in his church to be delivered from their sin. The first thing that Satan is going to do is he's going to start lying to you because he doesn't want you to do that. And you have got to meditate on Scripture. And if you find yourself in the beginning of the day, just kind of getting up in the morning, being really busy, having a lot of things on your schedule, and you find yourself getting anxious and frustrated, and all of a sudden you're not meditating on Scripture throughout the day, you're going to be in trouble. And Satan is going to take advantage of that. You know, the people that Satan attacks are not the people that are living in sin. You know, they're already living according to the flesh anyway. They're not accomplishing anything for God. What Satan wants to do is he wants to attack people that are praying against him. Those are the people that he attacks. And if you want to be that kind of a person, and honestly, God wants everyone in this church to be that kind of a person. You may say, I've only been saved for 6 months. God wants to use you to pray for missionaries. God can use you to see people delivered, even on the other side of the world. God wants to use you to do that. Then as soon as you do, Satan is going to start lying to you. He's going to start tempting you. And the only way you're going to refute that is if you know the Bible, if you meditate on the Bible, if you wake up in the morning and you read a chapter in the Bible and you say, God, I want you to give me something to think about today from that chapter, whatever chapter it is, even if it's the book of Leviticus. You know, God can give you something to think about that day, to meditate on. What is the sin issue in your life that you always fall into? Do you wake up in the morning and meditate on verses about that sin issue? You know, there was a time in my life where I had maybe 10 or 12 verses about lust. And every time I woke up in the morning, I would quote those verses to myself as I got ready in the beginning of the day. And you know what? That changed my life. And you know, whatever issue it is in your life, you have got to meditate on Scripture. You've got to have victory over Satan because God wants to use you. God wants to use you to pray. I mean, these Ephesian Christians, these were new Christians. They weren't people that had been saved for 20 years. And Paul said, I need you to pray for me. I need you to pray that I can preach the gospel, that these people are going to listen to me. I need you to pray for that. And you've got to have victory over Satan. You've got to have victory over his lies if that's going to happen. And so as we close here, you know, I want to encourage you, just God wants to use your life. And it's not just that we pray through a list of prayer requests on Wednesday night, and that's good, and I'm glad. It's amazing how many people in this church are faithful in doing that. That's a great blessing to Sarah and I. But, you know, these people, these pictures that I showed up there, those are people that Satan wants to destroy. And many of them have wrong thinking in their minds because of how they've grown up, because of what their parents believe. And they've got to be delivered from that. And we have got to believe that when we ask Satan to flee from somebody, that he really will, that God will do that. We need to pray those kind of prayers. We've got to believe that Jesus owns that person, that that person belongs to Jesus, and that Jesus has a right to change that person's life and to save them. We need to do that. And if your prayer life has not included that tonight, you can make a decision tonight to say, God, I want to pray those kind of prayers. I want to believe that people can be delivered from Satan. And after you make that decision, meditate on that armor in Ephesians 6 very seriously. Do you believe the Word of God? Are you living by faith? Do you feel frustrated inside? when you pray? Do you feel anxiety in your life or worry in your life? Are you living in victory over sin? Do you believe the Bible? Are you meditating on the Bible? And if you will do those things and depend on the Holy Spirit to live Jesus' life inside of you, he will make you into a powerful prayer warrior, and God will change Szilard's life. He will change Zoli and Bela's life and Lydia and Aggie's life. He will do that through your prayers if we will believe God and stand in faith against the wicked one.